Okay, well, let's get going. Welcome, folks, to the Skype for Business Revolutionize Adoption session. This is not the Windows Information Protection session that was double-booked in our room. So if you feel like you're not getting the content that you want, I won't be offended if you get up and walk out. So unfortunately, I don't know where they booked the other session. So those folks will just be left hanging a little bit. So we are here today to share the latest and greatest with our adoption framework. And we're excited to do so. My name is Mike Hollinshead. I am the program manager lead for our customer engagement and adoption team. And really, our goal is to enable you all as IT pros to roll out Skype for Business within your organization and drive usage. We've been at this for a while now, and we've developed a successful approach, and we want to share the latest and greatest tips and tricks and resources with you. Throughout the day, you'll see a lot of sessions that have been handing out live swag to the audience. Unfortunately, I'm out of my extra small women's Skype for Business shirts and extra large track jackets. But when you leave today, hopefully what you will have is a whole bunch of links and downloads to what you need for Skype for Business to be successful with your adoption. So we'll take you through a journey around our resources and roadmaps of what's coming. Nick Suter on my team will lead you through that. You'll find out what we have available, where to find it, and weaving in customer success stories along with that so you can get an example of how it's been applied and what results we've seen with it. We'll also then start tying that together with our community efforts. We really feel that that's where a lot of the power of how you can bring your users together such that they can learn from one another and also identify the resources that are available to you all to continue the conversations around Skype for Business, learn what's new, so it doesn't stop just today in this session. And then we'll finally wrap up with Q&A. So with that, I'll invite Nick up to the stage, who will get us going on our adoption introduction.
All right. Great. Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everybody. So my name is Nick Suter. I'm a program manager. I work for Mike. And as he alluded to, so we work with customers around the world. We work with them to deploy Skype for Business. And my job specifically is to work with these organizations and ensure that we not only get a viable product deployed, but we work through the challenges of customer or user adoption, right? So when you think of Skype for Business, think of it's not just enough to have it up and running. We also need to make it enticing and relatable to our users so they start to use the product. So what I wanted to do is kind of start today and talk a little bit about adoption before we dive into some of this framework and some of the materials that we give to aid with adoption, right? So think of, when we think of adoption, kind of take a step back and think about text messaging. You know, for me, it wasn't 6 years ago where I literally didn't text message anyone. I know a lot of my friends had a similar experience, and now, over the years, text messaging has really kind of infiltrated every aspect of our lives. I know some people whose dinner tables look just like this. They don't even talk anymore. They literally send text messages back and forth. It's kind of depressing, but that's just the world that we live in today, right? Instead of picking up the phone to call someone, we text message. That is like grassroots adoption at its finest. This is where we want to take Skype for Business. Not, you know, around your dinner table, but we want users to organically start using Skype for Business and then advocate that other users in your organization use Skype for Business as well. So how do we see adoption? So with my team, we see adoption as it's really the daily, habitual use and deep utilization of Skype for Business, right? Our users use this every day to get their job done. They use it out of habit because it has solved some challenge for them, whether it's a personal thing, whether it's a professional, a professional scenario that they have, but they use it and they love it. Right, they're what we call raving fans. I don't know if anybody joined our Tuesday session, but that's recorded. You could see sort of the end user journey through this as well. And when we think of adoption, right, I'm going to throw this big 70% number at you. Right, it's big number. You might take these odds to Vegas, but there's a little bit more behind this, right? So this 70% figure, this is actually the percentage of change initiatives that fail. Right? 70% of all change initiatives will fail. So just think about that for a second. Right? That's huge. That makes us want to change the narrative that we have around adoption. Right? So we want to go from defining what adoption is to really, adoption is not an afterthought. We can't leave adoption until after we have deployed our products. You know, for Skype for Business, adoption needs to be part of this foundational thinking that you have. When you're planning your technical deployment, we need to make sure that adoption is baked in and that you have a plan to ready your users and make them, you know, create these raving fans within the organization. So let's look at this just a little bit here. Throughout the years, we've worked with hundreds and hundreds of customers on their deployments of Skype for Business. And we've seen one trend that kind of, you know, proliferates itself throughout the entire community, and that is this. We see customers who start with their technical readiness. Nothing wrong with that, because we need to do those steps in order to deploy the product, right? But organizations spend a lot of time, and we spend a lot of time, looking at client deployment, configuring our ports, whitelisting our IP addresses, configuring the tenant to work just right. We turn our focus to this end-user readiness state once we launch the product internally within the organization, right? So when we do this, right, we typically see this flat adoption line. I won't even call it a curve. You know, we have users who will adopt and start using the technology, but when we ignore our users to the very end, we see folks like this. They're frustrated. They don't know how to use the product. They can't understand why we would roll this product out to them and how Skype for Business is actually going to solve a problem for them. They start to feel stupid and like they don't even know how to do their job anymore. And that's certainly not what we intend to do and not what we want to do with our users. So with all these organizations that we work with to deploy Skype for Business, we've come up with what we consider an ideal approach to deploying Skype for Business. And this approach starts with your technical readiness. We want you to think through client deployment. We want you to make sure that your tenant is set up and fully configured and whitelist your IPs and open your ports. Get all of that in place. But at the same time, we want you to stand up in parallel an end-user readiness track. We want you to start to think through how you're going to train your users, how you're going to promote the product to your users, how you are going to make them feel as though they're part of this journey with you so they can understand, like, why we're even giving them Skype for Business. And when we do this, we see an exponential growth in adoption. We have seen this. We run incubation experiments, and I'll show a slide on this a little bit later. And that's how we test out new programming. Similar to the framework that I'm going to show you today, we test things out with customers before we go live with it. And in these experiments, we've seen this result. This gets a different attitude from our users. They're excited, they're happy, they want to use the product because they understand and they feel as though instead of pushing something out to them, we've actually brought them along with us. So there's a sense of ownership, there's a sense of pride. That helps with adoption. So let's look at some of the resources that we have. We have all been in this place, right? You go to the game, you're in the stadium for 4, 5, 6 hours, and it's time to go home. And you walk out, and this is what awaits you. And we all do the same thing. We go row by row, car by car, trying to find our ride home. We look at cars that in no sphere could be ours. And then we start to do the dance. We fumble and we get our keys and we set off our panic alarms and we try to follow the sound of that. Finding your car after the game is kind of like finding our adoption content. We have adoption content available, but it's been difficult to find in the past. You can go to your favorite search engine. Hopefully it's Bing, but you know. So you can go to your favorite search engine. You can look, type in Skype for Business adoption content, and it's going to send you all sorts of resources that are all over the web. We're going to send you to support.microsoft.com. where you can find product training. We will send you to TechNet, where you can find more technical training. We'll send you to the Microsoft Download Center, where you can download tools such as the rollout and adoption kit. We'll send you to the Fast Track Center, where you can start to experience some of the new investments that we've made for Skype for Business Online and how we ready organizations and users from there. There's no shortage of content. But what's the right content to use, and when do you actually use it? Right? That's been something that has been lacking that we wanted to solve. We've heard a lot of feedback from customers who are confused on, like, what do I use for my users, for rolling out, for thinking through this new, you know, this new world that you want me to do, where we're marrying technology and the user experience. How do I do that? So we've created something that we call the Adoption Content Directory. Okay? It's live today, and what this is your single source of truth for approved Skype for Business adoption content. Okay? And I use the word approved explicitly, right? This is the content that my team has looked at, we've reviewed, we've approved, and we have published somewhere. Or we have worked in partnership with one of our internal teams to ensure that it's the right type of content that we want our users and our organizations to use for their rollout. It's easy to find. We have the link down here, and we'll have another link toward the end of this, I believe. But it's aka.ms/sfbrolloutkit. That's going to point you to this content directory. You're going to get two things when you download this. You're going to get a slide deck, which has some of the framing around what this content directory is and what it contains and how to use it, walks you through the user journey through adoption a little bit, and then you'll get the content directory itself. It's an Excel spreadsheet. We did that on purpose, so it's sortable. You can sort it by asset type, by intended audience, by scenario, and we're constantly updating this content directory. So when we add new scenarios for Skype for Business that we think need adoption content around it, we update the resource and we point you to that resource. Because at Microsoft, creating content's not a problem. Like, everybody will create their own thing, as evidenced by however many sites you need to go to find stuff. The challenge is finding the right content and ensuring that it's discoverable. That's what this content directory will do. So you can trust this when you download it, when you look at it. This is the approved content, and these are the locations that you can find it in. And the way that we've divided this content directory is there's three specific phases. So we have pre-launch, we have launch, and then we have support post-launch. I'm going to walk through each of these areas and kind of give you guys some idea for what's available and then what we link to. So let's talk about the pre-launch content. It starts out with this concept that we have in the Fast Track Center of the success workshop. Okay, so we talked about blending the technology and the end user experience and starting that user readiness track right in parallel and in line with your technical deployment. And this is a series of workshops that will help you get there. Now, if you're an existing Skype for Business Online user and you have a tenant, you may have gone through this framework already. You have an opportunity to have the Fast Track Center lead you through this framework, but we also make it available for you to download and go through yourself. And what this framework does, it's a four-step process. It's really straightforward, really easy. The first thing we want to do is engage, and we want to figure out what your goals are, what your vision is for Skype for Business. We want to have that roadmap, thinking with the end in mind, where do we want to go? And then we can help you get there. The second piece of this is after we know where you want to go, we want to start to prioritize the different workloads or the different features or the different user groups that you have in your organization that you want to deploy Skype for Business to. And we walk through this with you. After we've identified the resourcing, after we've identified the user groups, we talk about how we actually accomplish this. That's where we start talking about assigning resources. You know, who in your organization is going to participate in the client deployment? Who in your organization is going to participate in training these users? Who do we need on board in order to make sure that our users see value? And then the That leads into this concept of a launch event. And we'll talk about the launch event in a couple slides here. And the launch event is really this culmination of all this planning and execution. And it's our formal proclamation to our users that, hey, Skype for Business is available. Here's how you use it. Here's where your training resources are available. And call me if you need help. And then the last thing, a really important thing that we haven't had in the past, is this concept of measuring success and reporting back on it. We help you understand how you look at the numbers that are coming in and deem a successful launch or a successful adoption campaign or not. So this workshop is designed to arm you with all the information you need to successfully adopt Skype for Business within your organization. One of the pieces of content that we give you access to is this set of, framing documentation, right? So Skype for Business, our main scenario is called Make Meetings Matter. So we give you information on how to internalize this yourself and then how to talk about making meetings matter to your users. There's a couple pieces of content. One is a slide deck, and we walk you through our vision and what Skype can do and why it's so powerful and why your users should use it. We talk about how Skype for Business is essentially the bedrock of Office 365, how it's the only service in Office 365 that talks to multitudes of services. We talk about different end user facing scenarios that they can do, that they can perform in the organization and be more productive. They can have that emotional experience of something and they can, the light bulb will turn on, they'll get it. And then we link to some kind of whimsical videos that users can watch and kind of get a better idea for what this looks like in motion when you go end to end. So the next thing we have is this concept of a productivity library. This is a newer resource. We just launched this about a month ago. And what this is not specific to Skype for Business. The productivity library is more general toward Office 365. And what it's designed to do is it's designed to get your users to start thinking outside of the box and thinking at a suite level, at an Office 365 suite level, how they can be more productive, how all of these services and products tie into one another. We're constantly updating this. We have this based on different roles in the organization and the different industries that we have recognized in some of the work our marketing team has done. As an example for this, right, we have up here, you know, the screenshot I have up here is an example of what these look like. And again, we're constantly iterating and adding to these. But we talk through scenarios such as you're a teacher, and you're putting a lesson plan together. And you want to talk to other faculty members to get input on this lesson plan. Well, how do you do that? Well, Skype for Business can do that. And you can upload a PowerPoint into that meeting, and you can annotate right on that PowerPoint. Right? It's not a how-to. It's not a step-by-step. It's more of a let's get some thought going, and let's let users know the product that they have. You know, what you can actually do with Skype for Business. So I talked a little bit earlier about this concept of a launch event. Let's talk about that now. So the third step in the success workshop methodology is a launch event, right? And again, it's an awareness campaign. When you get to the point of launching the product, why not announce it? Why not let your users know that, hey, Skype for Business is live and it's active. Here's what Skype for Business is. And here are some resources that we have set aside for you to use on day one to learn more about the product, to become more productive. You know, and these things actually work. This chart here on the, the my right, your left. Right. So this is two customers. They deployed on their own. They didn't come to us for help. And you see the one in orange was 9 months into their deployment. And their adoption line is very flat. It's under 5%. I think it was more around 1.5% adoption. They engaged with our team. We walked them through the workshops. We've started to provide them with resources. We provided their users with training and the materials they needed. And within 2 months, they spiked up to almost 15%. The other customer is even more dramatic. They were there for about 16 months with no usage, under 5%. It's very low. They engaged with us. We did the same thing. We walked them through the success workshop, right? We showed them the resources we have. We worked with them to deploy the resources internally and to run awareness campaigns for their users. And it went crazy. As soon as they did that, it shot up to over 40%, right? There's always a slight dip afterward, but I mean, 16 months of nothing and then it jumps all the way up to 40%, right? We see this all the time when we engage with customers, and it's never too late to start, right? If you have a deployment and you have stagnant adoption, let us know. We can help you. We can start walking through this framework with you. We can help arm your users with information and knowledge, and we can start to see some of these results. So let's talk a little bit about this content we have at launch, right? So we talked about the launch event and how we're promoting the product and we're giving users resources for training and learning. Well, let's look at some of that. It starts with these quick start guides, right? This is sort of our day one solution for users. This may look familiar. We've had these around since, I think, OCS 2007 R2, if anyone remembers that product, right? This is one of our most popular end user-facing resources that we have. It's consistently the most downloaded and used and even customized resource from organizations. People have taken these and they've actually just wiped all of the Skype for Business content off, and they've used these for other products in their organization. They're designed to be printed and put on your user's workstation. They're designed, it's all around that first day experience and the first 3, 4, 5 things your users need to know about Skype for Business to get started and start using the product and feel productive. It's written in straightforward language. We want to empower users to feel productive and not be blocked by this new tool that we've just deployed for them. So we have 6 quick start guides today. We're growing our library. I can talk a little bit about that more toward closing here. The next thing we have is, so we recognize that not everybody learns the same way. We live in a YouTube world these days. People don't like to be handed paper. They don't like to read things that are printed out. So we have training videos. We call it productivity training. It's the same concept as a quick start guide, only it's a video. So we walk you through. This is more of a step-by-step walkthrough of how to use the product. We have 2 main scenarios that we cover. One is a complete meeting solution, and the other one is communicate your way. And we have these videos that are geared around showing users how they interact with the product and how they can leverage Skype for Business to be more proficient. In the Communicate Your Way videos, we walk them through finding a contact, pinning that contact to their contact list. We walk them through searching the contact card for key information, scheduling follow-up meetings, initiating IMs, right? These are great resources for folks who want to consume this on their own time, and they don't want something printed. Kind of furthering that a little bit is we have product training available. So this is the classic how-to stuff, right? This is the classic step-by-step, here's how you update a contact picture, you know? We have this available, it's on support.office.com, and we write these in more of an article style, it's very bulleted. Again, we use straightforward language for the user to ensure that they have a pleasant experience. And this sits up there, and we constantly update this, and we provide new training content. There's a landing page that has the top 10 trending support topics or the top 10 training topics. And users can go to this site on their own. They just need to know where it is. They can go and they can learn on their own at their own pace. You know, we found these to be very effective. We get lots of feedback on this, and so we constantly update articles. We constantly add articles to this. So We've talked about the pre-launch and some of the things we give you to prep for this. We've talked about the launch content once we actually launch this thing and the resources we give to users. There's a couple pieces of support content that I'd like to talk about now. So the first one is we provide these email templates, and nothing revolutionary with emails, right? But what these do are these are designed to be sent out to our user communities post-launch plus 1 week, plus 2 weeks, plus 3 weeks, to keep this conversation going and to keep these thoughts coming into our users' minds, right? They're just templates. You can customize these. Use them, don't use them. It's totally up to you. But let this spark ideas of, hey, you know, it's been 2 weeks since we've launched this product. Let's see if people are interested in meetings, or let's see if people are interested in, you know, updating their contact photo, looking a little more professional as they go through. We found that these, they help drive usage because it's that reminder, like, oh yeah, I got that tool 3 weeks ago. I should use that, right? The next thing that we talk about is, so we have this online help page as well. And I understand that lots of us don't want our users going to external resources for help. We have this available in case you're okay with that, right? If they are searching the web, this is where they can go and this is what they can use, right? This is traditional support. Okay? It's not an IT admin guide. We have a similar resource for IT admins up on the fasttrack.microsoft.com site. We map to that in the content directory I spoke to earlier. And that site or that resource is more of the IT admin help guide, right? And that will show you, it's an Office 365 all-encompassing resource. It shows you, I think, the top 7 to 10 support issues that are commonly seen, and it'll walk you through. But this is for your users, right? So again, it's task-oriented, and it's written in language that the user can understand, right? We try to stay away as much as we can from technical terms. All right, one last thing, then I'm gonna hand it back to Mike. So let's talk a little bit about the roadmap, because I keep talking about how we're constantly iterating and adding resources and different ways to increase adoption, right? So what I've shown you, this is what we have today, right? But we don't wanna stop. We don't want this to stagnate, right? So we talked about quick start guides, right? We're adding to that library. We're looking at scenarios, like if you have live meeting and you're moving to Skype meetings, how we make that easy for the user. What does the user need to know on day one? We're looking at if you have users who are so used to using the Skype consumer client and they're coming to Skype for business, what do they need to know? What are the main differentiators? Those are the types of things that we are looking at to create. And if you guys have ideas, if you have needs, let us know. I'd love to hear that. You're gonna be one of our main sources of feedback for that. Right? And we want to help users. The other one is we talked about the productivity library. So we're going to continue to create productivity cards for this library. So we have, I think there's 70 cards today. We're going to look to refine those cards, make them more applicable to our users and the workloads that they have. But we're also going to keep adding to that. You know, we're going to talk about mobile scenarios and how those solve problems with choosing between work, you know, and providing for my family and being with my family, you know? So we're gonna keep adding to that and investing to that. And then there's this concept of planning cards. And the planning cards are a resource that I'm excited about because this is going to help us in this room understand how we segment out our deployments. What groups of users do we actually target and why? Where does Skype for Business really shine? And how do I reach out to those users and start to drive up this viral adoption? Right? We're working on those, hoping to have those in the next quarter or so. We're looking at streamlining, right? So there's a whole bunch of adoption resources. I showed some of those in really early on. We're looking at what we can pull out of those resources to put into this content directory to map you to, and then retire the old resource, right? Because it's important that you guys can trust what you are finding and what you are implementing in your organizations. So that's what this content directory is going to be. If it's not on the content directory and you think it should be, let us know. We'll add it, you know? Well, we'll evaluate it and then we will add it if it's appropriate, or we'll pull it down if it's not. The productivity library that we have, so we've done a lot of work in the background to profile users and usage patterns and why a certain group of users would use Skype for Business and why they wouldn't. We're going to do some mapping toward the whole planning card thing. We're going to do some mapping with the productivity library to ensure that we have the scenarios and the cards up there mapped to our usage profiles. And then we're always looking to redesign and make our adoption content better. So let me talk about quick start guides one more time here. Right now, it's a resource that you print out. Some people don't want to print those out, right? So we're looking to, I call it Webify, that resource. So you can post it to an internal site, and the users go to that site. And it's in a easy-to-read format, and it flows nicely, and it works. We'll provide the content and the page, and you just have to deploy that internally, right? Those are some of the investments that we're looking at. And then probably the last thing that we're doing is we're constantly thinking what we, rethinking what we invest in and how, right? And one of the things that we look at is how we connect with our community, right? How we connect with our IT pros, how we connect with our end users, and how we get these learnings back so we can continue to revolutionize the content that we provide. So with that, to talk a little bit more about that, I'm going to invite Mike back up so he can talk to the investments that we're making in our internal communities and how that's going to help you guys. So thank you for your time, and here's Mike.
Cool. Thanks, Nick. So let's talk a little bit about community. In our minds, this is how we start tying all of these resources together. It's great to have all of this, but if folks don't know where to go to access it, then we lose them. And so we wanna bring people together, both internally and also provide them with public conversation options as well. So I'm gonna cover the internal angle here, and then we'll invite Lori to come up and talk about the public-facing community offers that we have. So the first place we're starting is we've started to ship an adoption portal template. This is also available in the content directory that Nick referred to earlier. And the idea here is this is an Office 365 ready resource. It's actually a SharePoint WSP template that you can import into your tenancy and then deploy this new site with this template. And what it does is ties together all of these great resources that Nick referred to earlier. It's got easily identifiable and discoverable locations to now start clicking on as a user. The reason that we created this is as we worked with customers, everyone was doing this on their own. And they were asking us, hey, can you give me the latest links so I can put them up on our internal Skype for Business site? Well, we're going to try and make it one step easier for you. Here's a template. Go ahead and deploy this, and then you can customize it to your needs. And that's key. So the thing that we would love to see folks do with this is make it your own, right? So this is a starting place. For example, one of the customers that I'm working with today, they have their own approved device list, right? And so, hey, this is a great place where you can come and you can change the links that are in the current template that we have, point to your device approved device list, and you're off and running without having to recreate that resource on your own. The other thing that we really recommend is put your collaboration vision for Skype for Business, how you intend users to use the product, front and center. This is your opportunity to reach those users. Describe to them how you expect them to use the product. Show the success stories that other users have had within your organization. When folks can see somebody down the hallway that they know and they work with and they trust use the product and it comes to life for them, oh my gosh, that's so much more powerful than us from IT walking down the hallway saying, hey, you got to use Skype for Business, right? And so this is an opportunity for you to get that message out front and center, again, on the internal portal that folks can go to. And then the other angle that I'll mention and we've seen success with is leverage the rest of the suite. So folks have been doing Yammer integration as well. We've got a couple examples of that where they have a Skype for Business specific Yammer feed. And embed that within your portal. so folks can continue the conversation internally, and you can see that embedded, and that they can find additional resources, they can follow the conversation, what's happening as you're rolling out Skype for Business within your org. And that's a way to leverage the rest of the power of the suite. So that's one resource. The other resource that also kind of brings this together is this pilot that we've started running. It's called the Skype for Business Project Hero pilot program. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to take it one step further. And so we want to start bringing in some concepts of gamification to start incentivizing end users to discover more of the product. So kind of like this little cool guy here, when he starts discovering chemistry for the first time, he gets excited. There's a motivator there of, wow, this is kind of a neat thing. I want to learn more. I want to continue my path forward on this. So how we can start bringing our users in along this way, along this journey, is something that we're actually putting some programming around and providing a sense of accomplishment for end users as they unlock more of the product. So the other key thing about this is that there's this altruistic entity within your organizations. We refer to them as ambassadors. These are the folks that just walk down the hallway when they discover something new, and they talk to their colleagues about it. And they say, hey, we should try this out together. This is really a neat thing. You know, I think that we will collaborate better because of this. And so what we wanted to do with the Hero program is actually recognize those folks. There's a component of this, which I'll talk to in a couple minutes, where we can actually bring those folks out of the shadow and recognize them as they're helping others within your organization onboard to Skype for Business. So that's another big component of what we're doing with this pilot program. And ultimately, what you all get out of this as IT pros is a badging framework, the customizable portal that's integrated with some of these gamification concepts, and adoption consultation from our Fast Track organization to deploy it, roll it out, and leverage some of the resources that Nick talked about earlier. If you're interested in it, there's an alias at the bottom, SFB Adoption, that you can reach out to us, and we can start having a conversation of what that looks like. So let's kind of sink our teeth into this a little bit. I wanted to spend some time here. We talked about real-world scenarios, right? So we have Graham Bent, who's Air Canada's IT solutions manager, who recently rolled out Skype for Business within his organization. He joined us on the Tuesday Raving Fans session. I'm not going to make him get up on stage with me today, but he'll be here if you have questions for him. This is their journey with the Hero program, to give you some actuality of what it looked like for them. So their goals was to increase their usage, drive recognition, and have some fun while doing it. Make it interesting to their end users. So that's when we started collaborating about 3 to 4 months ago on the Hero program. And so as you can see, here are some of the badges that they created along that journey. So the initial levels here were pretty basic, right? As what we wanted to do is, as users started interacting at all in any way with the product, we wanted to reward them with something so that they would continue that journey on and want to unlock more. And the key here is that we really looked at the motivators. There's both the intrinsic and extrinsic motivators that apply to game theory, and we try to appeal to both. You know, some folks are into badging, right? That's cool, you know, that's interesting. Other folks could care less, right? I don't care about the silly badges, right? But and every time you were awarded an achievement, there were tons of links and references back to the productivity scenarios that Air Canada wanted to highlight. Links back to that portal so folks could go back and find those resources. So if they didn't care about the badges, they could still go and extend their knowledge on Skype for Business and learn more about the product to continue their journey forward. And the other thing that I'll mention here is that I really like what Air Canada did. They integrated this concept of shine points, which was actual monetary compensation that they could provide to their employees for those that achieve the highest levels. So there was really some financial incentive there, too, to go and leverage those. So I talked about ambassadorship a little bit earlier. This is really key. This is the bringing folks out of the dark that are altruistically going and doing a positive thing and spreading a message within your organization. So as a part of this Hero pilot program, you have an ability to become an ambassador. It's actually a way that you as an individual can nominate others to use the product. And when you nominate them, those folks will then receive a message saying, hey, you've been nominated by so-and-so. They think that you can increase your productivity by leveraging Skype for Business. Here's the links back to your customized portal. Here's where you can find out more about the product. And then as those end users started earning achievements, the ambassadors get recognition for that as well. So there's a way to start recognizing both, and that's kind of how we tied together the bringing those ambassadors out of the shadows angle. And then the other thing that Air Canada did as well is they gave out swag as ambassadors had more and more referrals that were achieving more and more. They got recognized for it, which is pretty cool. So I mentioned the internal site. Here's an example of some of the content that Air Canada customized for their needs. They really focused on how to find the right clients, how to find particular productivity scenarios which were applicable to them. The feedback that Graham gave on Tuesday, which I thought was really on point, was make it very snackable. If you have a portal with tons and tons of content, which is hard to find, you'll lose your users really quickly. So they really had a focused effort to say, we really want to target a specific set of scenarios and information for those end users. And then the other thing that Graham invested in heavily, which was thinking about the personas of the folks that were going and traversing to the site. So here are two examples of specific content that they tied together with the actual end user's office, such that if they worked in management or were a flight attendant, they would show them different content on the portal. So the management folks had, you know, a traditional desktop arrangement where they had rich clients, and so they really wanted to push that particular content, versus the flight attendants who were more mobile and weren't necessarily at a desk, right? Deskless worker. And so instead of getting them lost out of all of the resources that are available, again, they used personas to target very specific content per role, which, again, very useful and pretty spot on. And finally, what was the impact of this, right? So what did it accrue to? So there was a focus on IM. That was really the first phase of the project for Air Canada and what they wanted to drive up. When we launched the program, we got about a 9x increase in IM usage. Pretty good, not bad. And then about a 5x stickiness rate. So that was kind of one thing that Graham noticed is that we had folks, once we got them on there, we had them, which was great. So we lost some, but for the most part, we kept the majority of those users. The adoption portal usage, you can see, really had an effect. Folks were going there, in the hundreds, and that continued along. That little dip there is just some reporting back-end stuff. The month wasn't completed yet. They handed out 1,500 level 1 users. Level 2s, they had about 77, and level 3s, 24, as they progressed folks through the ranks, and they had about 14 ambassadors that they officially recognized within their organization. And you can see an example of some of the Power BI reporting that we put together for them to show some of the results where folks were at. And the proof is in the pudding from an end user perspective. This is one of the direct quotes about how somebody couldn't live without Skype for Business, which I thought was fantastic to see. So we wanted to share a specific example about this pilot program. And as I mentioned, if you're interested in it, please feel free to reach out to us at SFB Adoption. We'd be more than willing to talk to you about it. So that is a conversation tool that you can leverage within your organization. But we also have a public community that we're launching. And so Lori runs our public community effort, and I'll have her come up and talk to you about that.
Is this live? Can you guys hear me okay? I'm going to go ahead and unlock my computer here so that I can get ready to show you a demo in a minute. Okay, so I'm here to talk to you about the new Skype for Business community. I'm super excited. We launched it this week officially. So some of you may have seen the community booth that's downstairs next to where you get your meals. If not, stop by and you can sign up there. But what I want to talk about is specifically the Skype for Business community. So what we've done is we've created this online community that is available for you to log in and continue the conversations, not only about what you're learning about here today and this week, but also what you're doing in your day-to-day role, launching Skype for Business and helping your users. So this online community portal will really help you to continue conversations with each other here, with each other as IT pros who are around the world doing the same thing that you are doing, with users, with MVPs, with partners, all those Skype for Business fans that are all around the world. It's this one kind of stop shop for you all to get together and talk about Skype for Business. As an IT pro, there are lots of benefits to joining the community. And I should mention that the community is comprised of all the O365 products as well as other Microsoft products as well. So you're gonna find everything there. You should find everything there you want, but I'm, of course, targeting in on the Skype for Business community. It's where you're gonna find product updates, and in the demo, I'm gonna show you exactly where to find those product updates, but it's the first place we're going to be posting things and giving you access to find where the latest and greatest on Skype for Business. It's also a way for you to connect directly with engineering. This is something that we haven't done in the past. In the past, you may have been part of different forums that are out there, and we do have kind of a forum atmosphere. But the really cool thing about this new community is that our engineering team is totally bought in, and they are part of this community. So I'm going to show you about some of our champions that are onboarded. But this is a way for you to actually connect with our engineering team and discuss what's going on in your deployments and experiences that you're having. And of course, like I said, get the latest and greatest. It's also a way for you to connect, like I said, with other people that are doing the same thing that you're doing. What the community is not. This is not a feedback tool. So we've got this really cool feedback tool that you can go to called, it's the Skype Feedback Engine. It's at www.skypefeedback.com. That's where we want you to go to actually submit your ideas, vote on other ideas, see what other people are requesting. That's where you go for feedback. The community is an opportunity for you to discuss your experiences and get to know what other people are doing and share ideas. But we want you to take your feedback to skypefeedback.com so we can officially log it. We have a process built around that, and that's a really good way for us to track it officially so that we can actually implement changes to the product based on that feedback. So keep using skypefeedback.com if you're doing that today. The community is also not for support. That's not the primary reason why we have the community. You should continue to go through your support channels like you do today. So, you know, if you're going to your O365 portal, we've linked to that from the community in the more resources section, so you can get there easily from there. If you do find a bug, it's totally fine to go into the community and say, hey, I'm experiencing X. Is anybody else seeing that? Because you might not know if it's a bug. You might not know if it's a true issue, and that's okay. We want to have those discussions in the community, but if you know you've got a bug, just keep going to your normal support channel. So I'm going to go ahead and try out this demo and actually show you what the community looks like. So this is the Microsoft Tech community. This is where you'll go to find all the different products available within the community. So I wanted to show you that as kind of a starting point. If you haven't already logged in, I would urge you to go and check out all the conversations that are taking place within the sessions that you're attending while you're here at Ignite. Each session has its own community space where you can talk to other people that have attended or other people that are excited about the topic that was presented. So feel free to go to community and check out the sessions that you've gone to and have discussions about those. But what I really want to zero in on is the Skype for Business community. So when you get to the Skype for Business community, this is what you will see. I'm going to give you the link at the end that's going to take you straight to this page because we want you to be a member of the Skype for Business community. What you do when you get there is you sign in by going to the right-hand corner, and it's going to ask you what account. So if you've got a personal account or a work email, I would suggest using your work email. I'm going to use my personal email right now so that I can show you as a demo. It's going to make sure that it knows who you are. Once you're signed in, you'll notice that your avatar shows up in the far top right-hand corner. That's also where you can go to create your profile. So if you go to profile, you'll see kind of a dashboard of exactly what you've done. Again, this is just a demo, so I know it looks like I haven't been active. I really have. I have completed my profile, so that just means that I've put my email in there, I've added my organization name, I've favorited the Skype for Business space, which I urge you all to do, and I've added my bio. The other thing that you're going to want to do is go to My Settings Complete Profile. That's where you're going to be able to go in and put all of your detailed information. So I really urge you to do that, just so other people within the community know who you are, what you're about, a little biography. I think I had the greatest job in the world because I get to work with all of you. And then when you want to interact within the Skype for Business community, you can go to whatever space you would like. So for instance, in the Skype for Business community, we've got discussions and blogs, and you're gonna see that with every product that you go to. You can go to discussions, which is kind of like a forums atmosphere, or you can go to blogs, which is us pushing content to you in the traditional blog format. For this demo, I'm going to show you the Skype for Business users discussion board. This is really cool because this is an opportunity for you guys to push this out to your users also. So the community is not only for IT pros, it's for your users too. It's an opportunity for them to go get the latest and greatest, for them to share experiences. Let's say one of your users is doing kind of a big event and they don't really know exactly what to do. They want to hear best practices from other people. Have them go in and sign up for the community and ask other users what they have done in that same scenario. There's something to be said about learning from other people's experiences and not just reading kind of a how-to and going on at it alone. So this is an opportunity for users to use the community as well. If you don't want to push them and you have your own internal intranet site where you want people to go to ask questions and collaborate with one another, that's totally fine. But did want you to know that we have this opportunity for you to push them to an additional resource if you want to do that. IT Pro, that's all IT Pro focused, obviously. There are questions and discussions about deployments a little bit more technical than the conversations that are currently taking place in the user board. We also have a dedicated space for Skype Operations Framework and Skype Academy, so that's where you're gonna find all the latest and greatest posts that are happening within SOF that you've probably heard about while you're here, as well as the technical training that's taking place through Academy. So that's an opportunity for you to go in and talk about your experiences with SOF and discuss your experiences there. And then, of course, the Skype for Business Preview Program. For those of you who don't know about the Preview Program, we do have an opportunity to validate Skype for Business in pre-release, and the Preview Program is an opportunity for you to discuss not only the program and upcoming validations, but also if you are participating in validations, there are private boards closed to people who are participating in different validations there. So these are all public boards. I'm going to go to Skype for Business users and show you what that looks like. Right when you get in here, and you can tell that you're in a board because you're gonna see a blue box that tells you that I'm now in the Skype for Business users section. And you're just gonna see a listing, and they're gonna be in chronological order. So the newest discussions are gonna be at the top, or newest replies at the top, and so on. What I wanna do is show you two things. First, I'm gonna show you how to start a new conversation. You just click on Start a Discussion. That opens up this board. It's pretty self-explanatory. You can put in what do you want to discuss, which is the title of your topic, and then your details. I do urge you to choose these labels over here on the right-hand side. By choosing labels, it helps with search, so that when people are looking for all the topics on PSTN calling, they can go and do that same with any of the adoption-related resources as well. You can add your own tags if your label isn't listed there, but definitely choose a label when you open up. And then once you're ready to post, you just click Post at the bottom. That starts a new conversation. So now I'm going to show you how to actually edit a conversation. And you might want to close your eyes while I do a quick scroll. Before I do that, let me call out our community champions. I did mention that we do have engineering on board to communicate and collaborate with all of you in the community, and this is an example of that. Our champions are starting to introduce themselves to you, so they'll let you know who they are, what role they play within the community, tell you a little bit about themselves, and they're being very active in responding to your questions in the community. So this is, like I said, a really unique opportunity for you to connect directly with them. So feel free to say hello, don't be shy. They want to know that you're actually reading what they're writing there. So Nick, I'm trying to find your posting here and I can't find it. So I'm just gonna open your quick start guide one. This is Nick's posting. He has also posted in our blog section that talks about our tips and tricks. So you can take a look at that. But Nick posted this quick start guides posting where he introduced himself and shared some resources, right? So I think this is a really cool posting. I want to like it, so I'm gonna click the little like button down there at the bottom. That tells me that I've liked his posting. And then one thing that you might wanna do is search. So if you see, for instance, the Mac client is a hot topic. So let's say you go to a posting and there's something about the Mac client. You wanna see what other people are asking about on that same topic. You can just click the label. So in this example, I'm going to click Skype for Business Adoption because that's something that Nick chose as his label when he opened this new discussion. I click on it and it will show me the other topics that are currently in there related to adoption. And I'm going to show you one more last thing, and that is our blogs. If you go to blogs, you can see we have four spaces here as well. This is gonna grow. The next blog space that we will have is called Customer Connection. Customer Connection is an opportunity for all of you to share your stories, your tips and tricks, and your experiences with Skype for Business with everybody else within the community. And right now we have close to 3,000 people that are members of the Skype for Business community just this week. So we expect that to grow. So if you're interested in being part of the Customer Connection blog posting, would like to highlight your organization, we'd love to hear from you. It can be just a quick tip and trick, something that you guys are using within your environment, or it can be more lengthy about your entire deployment. So feel free to reach out to me after today's session if you wanna do that. You don't see that today because I haven't made it live yet, but we're currently working on that. So what I wanna show you, I'm just gonna open up the tips and tricks. These are all blogs. There's only one posting in here that we did this week. Again, this is new, but eventually you'll see many postings here. Nick has posted a conduct a company meeting with Skype meeting broadcast. I click on that and it opens up this blog posting. So it looks very similar, but just wanted to show you all where those kind of tips and tricks are hosted. You'll also find the product updates there that I referenced, and then just a Skype for Business blog posting. Some of you also may be participating in the bi-weekly Skype for Business broadcast series session that Jamie Stark and Sean Wilson are doing. Those are all posted here in this section, this blog section. They're actually doing another one this afternoon. Anyway, that's where the broadcasts are posted. So I urge you to go there and view those. They're biweekly. Did I miss anything on this demo? I'm good? Okay. So that kind of shows you what the community is. You can go to, I'm on five, right? Okay. I'm gonna cruise through this because I already showed this all to you. Here's the broadcast series. So there's a link, aka.ms/sfbcast. This is the broadcast series that I referenced that's bi-weekly, done by Jamie and Sean, so check that out. In these slides, there's step-by-step. Oh, I didn't talk about badging, but we do have badging. So we talked about gamification as part of an adoption strategy. We do have badges, so you can earn those. When you make your first post or you like a first post, you'll get all kinds of badges really quick up front, and then continue earning them based on the activity that you do within the community. That might be a little bit hard to see, but the Skype for Business community can be found at aka.ms/sfbcommunity. I urge all of you to log in. You can get it on your mobile device, so you can actually do it right now. You can use the QR code. Please join the community. We urge you all to be very active members in there. Just share your experiences with what you're seeing. Ask questions as it makes sense. And definitely be part of the community. We monitor those boards daily, so we're excited to have you be a part of it. So I'm going to turn it back over to Mike.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, great.
So at this point, I believe we're at Q&A. The last plug to community is please join the IT Pro community. We'd love to have you in there. This is your place to go and get the latest and greatest. Nick's going to be doing regular adoption posts as well. So when we do rev our content, that's the place to go and find information. The last little thing that comes to mind as well, Lori, is you can recognize who's who in the community. I believe Microsoft folks have a little blue circle around them. And MVPs are also recognized as well, green. So you can tell where folks are from. So that's also kind of an interesting piece of info. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to go to the mic. We have one.
Hi, I do.
Yeah.
You mentioned early on that when you're launching, you give people examples of how you'd use Skype, why you would use use cases, so forth. Right. Talk a little bit about how to tell them what not to use it for. You know, because there, you have people who end up using Skype for things that they really should have put in an email. Or, you know what I mean? There's a real sweet spot there for telling people, you know, don't do this.
Yeah.
Do you have a list of those? Or can you talk to it a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great piece of feedback. So answering your question directly, we do not have a formalized list today, right? But I really like that piece of feedback as something, a new resource to put into our content directory and share out. I will say that in the bottom of the quick start guides, we didn't have time to go into details, but there is at least a delineation between using Skype consumer, this is what you should do to reach out to grandma, and using, hey, you should use Skype for Business for these style activities. This is where you reach out to your coworker, right? So there's a little bit of that, but I don't think it really hits on the spirit of the feedback that you're providing. And so, Nick, did you want to add anything to that? Sorry, we're going to be fumbling here a little bit because we only have two mics.
Sorry. I've actually never heard that before, so that's really cool. If you can, I would love to connect. I'd love to connect with you offline and just talk a little bit more about that. We think of things in terms of what to do, not necessarily what not to do a lot of the time. So would love to hear your thoughts and ideas, and that's, you know, something that we should look at putting together.
And that's also a great discussion that we could have on the community as well, right? So we can continue it either offline or in that forum, either way. But Nick's right here, so come grab him. I don't think it's on.
Thank you again for the session. So when we rolled out Link 2013, we did use those quick start guides. Just something I was wondering about, it seems like when you made them to be folded in half like a book, or at least however it's set up, it doesn't really make sense, especially now when people don't print stuff out. Why is that, and are you guys going to fix it, or should I be copy-pasting it myself?
Yeah, no, that's great to hear that you use those. That's awesome. So absolutely. When we created the Quick Start Guides, the thought was, you know, they have this center delineator in the middle to actually fold them in half, so you like put them in your pocket or put them other places. But you're right, that's part of the strategy of excuse me, of updating some of our content right? Because we found a lot of people don't print them out. They just view them. We provided them in PDF format and then PowerPoint format. So we saw a lot of people just using those and viewing those two formats. Or they would print them out and never fold them up as we intended. So we are looking at that. We're likely going to change that so you don't fold them up anymore or anything like that. And we're hoping to fix the flow as well with that, because if you look at it, since there's a center crease, you have, we kind of start on the right-hand side of the quick start guide, and then you move over to the left-hand. It's just, it's not really, it doesn't flow well. So, absolutely.
Okay, we'll cut you loose. Thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it.